Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Wednesday, February 10. I have a question for us to begin today. What is the most powerful, the most moving thing you have ever read in your lifetime? A poem, a prayer, a proclamation, some verses of the Bible which penetrated deeply into your soul? Have you ever been moved to tears, or more importantly, to some significant action by what you read or what you heard read? These days, our ears are filled with so much information coming at us from every possible source, and so much of it is discouraging, confusing, even frustrating, am I right? So join me again, my friends, in the story of Nehemiah to see a strategic approach that might be just what we desperately need today. As you recall, the year is 445 BC. The wall rebuild project around Jerusalem has been completed. Nehemiah has named key leadership and put in place security protocols for the safety of the city of Jerusalem. All of this has been very important, practical work. But Nehemiah discovered there was still great anxiety and mistrust and discord among the people, very much like our day in most places in our world. So let's look closely at what Nehemiah did. We're in Nehemiah chapter 8 in the Bible. All the people, that would be of Jerusalem and the surrounding area, came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Then, as now, people get busy with life, don't we? And in our busyness, attention to our spiritual health often gets squeezed out, as we only have so much time and so many things calling for our attention, right? Nehemiah knew if he did not call the people to focus on their spiritual health, now that the wall project was completed, they would quickly fill their lives so full that their religious practices would simply become traditions and rituals, and any true relationship with God would dwindle to nothing. God might become obsolete in a busy society. May I ask, is God obsolete in your society, your city, even your extended family? Nehemiah knew that while he had a powerful relationship with God, he needed help. So he turned to Mr. Ezra. Remember him? Ezra was a scholar, a well-educated religious expert. He likely had his own personal copies of the Old Testament scrolls, and he had studied them cover to cover for many years. Ezra had come to Jerusalem 13 years before, sent by King Artaxerxes for the purposes of instructing the Jews living in the region. Instructing them in what, you might ask? My friends, for Jewish people, the story of their unique history with God is very, very significant to them. It defines them as a people. From the time they're little children, Jewish people are taught by their parents, their rabbis, their scholars, all about their unique history, going all the way back to Abraham. That learning, plus their several God-designed annual festivals, which celebrate God working in their history, and their worship system, all are intended by God to keep them focused on God as the centerpiece of their Jewish society, no matter where they live in the world, generation after generation. Sadly, very few Christian families prioritize the spiritual health and vitality of their family in the same way, and that is one reason so many younger Christians flounder. When a Jewish community anywhere in the world is functioning according to God's instructions, found especially in the writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, those communities normally are amazingly peaceful, prosperous, and have very low crime rates, very little dysfunction. So, King Artaxerxes knew the problem in Jerusalem and the surrounding area where the Jewish exiles had resettled was that they were not living according to their God-given principles and laws. So that's why he sent Ezra to correct the civil discord by teaching them God's design for Jewish life. Amazing, isn't it? I presume Nehemiah knew all about Ezra's commission from the king, and I suspect King Artaxerxes had instructed Nehemiah to prioritize the wall rebuild first, achieving security for the city, then assign trusted leadership for the city, and finally get together with Mr. Ezra and call the people back to obedience to God's laws for them. We don't know exactly what portion of the Pentateuch, that's the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that Ezra was reading to the people. But may I invite you, let's join them. Let's put ourselves there in the crowd. It's a historic morning. Ezra read aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the people, and the people listened attentively. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Nehemiah chapter 8. Can you picture it? The people had gathered in the pre-dawn faint light, hundreds of them. Now, early dawn has turned into midday, and the sun has risen up over the Jerusalem walls, and the square in front of the Watergate is filled with people who are stunned by what Ezra is reading to them. Remember, friends, none of them have their own copy of these biblical scrolls. Nehemiah tells us that Ezra the scholar was flanked by other learned men on this high platform. After a while, those men came down into the crowd and discussed with the people what Ezra had been reading to be sure the people understood it well. Now listen to Nehemiah's record. Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing on a platform before them. And as Ezra opened the book, the people all rose to their feet. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands into the air and responded, "Amen! Amen!" Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now pause right here, my friends, in Nehemiah chapter 8. You've seen pictures of huge crowds of Muslim men down on their knees, shoulder to shoulder, with their faces to the ground in prayer. That is exactly what was happening here. This posture for prayer intentionally places a person in a posture of humility, repentance, sorrow for sin, and with face to the ground, it's a stark reminder that from dust Adam, the first human being, was made, and to dust all our bodies will return. Did you notice the people all stood to their feet in great respect for God's word when Ezra opened the book? Have you ever been in a crowd with that experience? And then when Ezra praised God without instruction, the people spontaneously lifted up their hands toward heaven and shouted, "Amen! Amen!" Can you feel the excitement, the reverence for God? Have you ever been in a worship service where people are spontaneously overwhelmed by the majesty of God, and without restraint, people start standing to their feet, or lifting up their hands, or crying out amen, or perhaps they bow in adoration with tears streaming down their face? Now look at what happened next, as Nehemiah records it for us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. The Levites instructed the people in the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah and Ezra said to the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law of God. May I ask you, my Walking with Jesus friends, do you have such a respect for God's word that as you read it, you sometimes feel pierced to the very core of your being and overwhelmed by the sinfulness in our world and the holy majesty of God? Do you remember Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 promises us that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So I ask you, my friends, does the Holy Spirit of God do that in your life when you read your Bible? Is your Bible all marked up with your own notes from what God has been speaking into your life as you've been reading it? May I give you this thought? The condition of your Bible is a powerful reflection of your life journey. Oh, my dear friends, please pursue developing a deep hunger and respect for God's Word. And as you read it, please ask the Holy Spirit to penetrate your mind and heart with it. And when he does, don't fight it. Don't resist his conviction. Rather, embrace what the Spirit is trying to do in your life. The conviction happening in Jerusalem that day was good. It was cleansing. It was healing. But it was important the people didn't stay there. They needed to rise up and go out into their lives with the power of God's word at work in them. So Nehemiah said to them, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Now watch that, my friends. Generosity is a natural outflow of worship of our great God. As God overwhelms us with who He is and all He has done for us, His people, He also gives us a desire to bless other people, especially those in need. Have you experienced that? So that's what they did. Can you imagine it? Have you ever done that? Are you a grateful, generous person? Do you head out into your day each day looking to see how you can be a blessing to the people that your life will encounter? Finally, listen to this, that Nehemiah said to the people that day, and may God penetrate it deeply into each of our hearts. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. There it is, my friends. One of the secrets of living a life that makes a big difference in our world, wherever you live. Inviting God to use His Word to so overwhelm you that joy bubbles up from deep within you. So when you leave your home and you head out into your dysfunctional, confusing, discouraging world, you bring and overflow the joy of the Lord God into your world. Now ponder that a moment. And what if several hundred million of us Christians around the world did that every day? I believe we could have a powerful impact on our world. What do you think? So, I think we need a joyful song today to help us celebrate. I introduced you to this African worship group the other day. So come and praise the Lord with me. The link is in your notes.